intercepted by Notre Dame.
For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
touchdown Notre Dame,
or Irish win.
He's in for touchdown. The Irish have come from behind.
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. And Ed, I'll tell you what, I'm trying to think of the last time that I felt this good, February 5th, not just the football program, but both programs. And the last time I could remember, this was way back when I was on campus in 1987. I'm walking into the dining hall, and in front of me is walking Tim Brown and David Rivers talking to each other. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's a lot of money talking to each other right now.
Well, I don't know how much David made in Italy and Greece and Spain. And
well, I mean, he didn't pan out like he thought he would, but at least I felt pretty doggone good that day. You know, before we dig into the football really quick, I mean, I do want to give some kudos to Mike Bray and his staff for yet again throughout his 10-year career. Every time you think he's on the down spiral and it's going to be a cash-in dump year for him, he tends to pull it out. And he's at it again with another great regular season. You know, what can you say? I mean, he is definitely pulling it out. And the win against Pittsburgh, you know, number two team in the nation on the road, I can't remember the last time that the Irish on the road have won a big game like that on the basketball court.
Yeah, no, he's done a terrific job. And, you know, I think he's kind of underrated when it comes to player development. You know, Abramidis, I mean, I don't think that anybody, you know, so, I mean, he's become a very good player, probably in the Big East. You know, he'll maybe, you know, third or fourth team, something like that. Carlton Scott, there's a guy that almost left the program, and Bray stuck with him. And we've seen what he's meant to the team the last several weeks. They went into a little slide without him. And he just gives them some length and size around the basket, as well as a nice three-point shot that just really rounds out their team. But, yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, again, our weakness is our bench. You know, we only go maybe 6-7 deep if we're lucky, and the guys coming in have defined roles that they played well. The test will be, of course, in March and what we can do, but all signs are really pointing up, and you can't say enough about Hansborough and the fire and the mental toughness he brings to the squad.
Yeah,
he's a warrior.
I'll tell you what, he's a tough kid. He's a tough kid, and man, I just love what he's done and the progression he's shown. And, you know, give some credit to Bray. I mean, you know, I'll be the first to admit, I'm not like a huge Mike Bray fan. It's not because I don't like the guy personally or anything like that. He's obviously a good guy. It's the luck of the draw. Unfortunately for Mike Bray, his 10-year career has been good regular season coaching and then pretty much bad postseason coaching. Now, whether you can say that it's luck, it's just he's had horrible draws, and I think he has. I mean, you go back to Winthrop, and you couldn't have picked a worse number 11 seed to play because those guys were nowhere near an 11 seed, and of all the four 11 seeds, they were by far the worst, not even close.
Well, I think one of the things that happens with coaches, too, I mean, you know, they get better. I mean, or they get, you know, or they don't. You
yeah,
know,
I agree.
Coach, I mean, sometimes we judge guys very early in their careers, or relatively early in their careers, and it's a shame that we pigeonhole players and coaches. You know, they can improve. You know, coaches can improve just like players can over the course of, you know, several years. And you know, I think there's part of that. I mean, I'm sure Bray would say that he's learned something over the last 10 years and is a better coach than he was. And you know, he is very good at taking guys that fit his program, I think, and getting as much out of them as he possibly can in the toughest conference in the country. And this is just fun. I mean, we as fans, I mean, I'm sure everybody listening right now is saying, will you guys get to the freaking recruits and the national signing day?
But well, you know, actually, it's a good segue. Where you're going is a yeah, very good segue into that.
I'm glad that you started with basketball because...
It is. I mean, I want to give him credit. I will say this. A lot of everything about... I don't want to just, you know, pin everything on him for the postseason. But I tell you what, if he gets to the Sweet 16 this postseason, I will give him all the credit in the world, and I'll change a lot of my attitudes toward him if he pulls that off. I'm not going to pin only that because it depends on what happens in the first two rounds, but I'll tell you what, he definitely has had a heck of a season, and you do got to give him a lot of credit for the season that he's having because he does. He pulls the best out of his players, and I think as a coach, that's looking for.
Exactly.
You just want to wonder if could he get better players here if he's a little more aggressive recruiting.
I mean,
and
hopefully,
so forth,
when it comes to the postseason, Hansborough will be the X factor. You know,
he's the guy that can take
somebody that, you know, he proved it against Pittsburgh. You know that he can take somebody off the dribble when they need a basket or get to the line, and you know will keep their heads in the game. But this is obviously a pretty mature team. And they went into a little bit of a slide and came right out of it in flying colors. And I could see them, you know, I could see them only losing one or two games the rest of the year, which would turn out to be a terrific regular season in the Big East. So we'll see what happens, but I'm glad.
Yeah, it'd be a heck of a yeah.
It's good that you bring that up because and the fans need to get behind him. You know, the Purcell Pavilion needs to be sold out the rest of the year. These guys, both students and, you know, the South Bend fans need to get out there because they're enjoyable to watch. And we need to give him a real big boost heading into the tournament.
I agree. I mean, there's some great stuff coming out of there. Well, you know, it's a good segue because you mentioned the point about a lot of times people tend to jump the gun and judge coaches before their time. And I think certainly I'll be the first to admit I was guilty of that with Brian Kelly on hand as he started out here. You know, only because there's just been so much pent up frustrations with this football program, and you know it kind of looked like the setting was right. The team was not your rebuilding year like it was in Charlie's third year. I mean, it was a year that something could have happened that might have been a little bit magical, and all of a sudden it didn't work out that way, and immediately we're trying to throw him under the bus. I really liked, I mean, you can say whatever you want about this recruiting class. I mean, ESPN has got us at 12th. You know, we could have a long discussion about recruiting and scoring recruits and how do you put Notre Dame 12th when the top number 5 and number 4 stars is greater than half the teams in front of them. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that goes in when you recruit and analyze recruiting classes. But I'll tell you what I really liked. I really liked reading about what Brian Kelly said about the class that he got, and from his eyes, from his focus, from what they were trying to accomplish, he's excited as any head coach could possibly be about the class that he's got, and that speaks more volumes than Notre Dame being ranked 12th right now, because that doesn't necessarily equate into national championships. That's all fluff for the fans. This means absolutely nothing. None of these kids have stepped on the field yet. And the reality of the matter is Brian Kelly is about as upbeat as you could possibly be after signing
day.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think you can win a national championship on National Signing Day, but you sure could put yourself in a position to not compete for one, as we found out with Willingham or Davingham or whatever you want to. You know, I mean, you can – and I think, to me, the bigger message is – and I agree with you to an extent. I mean, I think that evaluating these high school juniors and seniors – has become, I mean, I do think the stars and the evaluation means more than it ever has. I mean, you've got tons of, you know, pretty seasoned football people looking at these kids from the time that they're freshmen and sophomores in high school. And I think that these guys, you know, and I know some of them, they work really hard and they watch a lot of football, way more tape than you or I ever have. and they know the difference between, you know, a 3 and a 5 star. I mean, they can, you can see, and you know, look at Michael Floyd and Jimmy Clausen. I mean, those are guys that succeeded at the highest level and had, you know, are tremendous college football players. And I think that if you see a guy with 5 stars in one of these rating services, you can be pretty sure that much more than you could be 5, 10, 15 years ago, that they were destined to be perhaps, you know, at the worst, good college football players, probably very good, and in some cases, actual great, you know, college football players and first-round draft choices. So I do think that it's become pretty scientific. It's become fairly reliable. But I also agree with you that it's you still have to coach them up, and they still have to grow into their bodies. I think the bigger message it sends is that this is a guy who is another, you know, piece of the building block that we're looking for of the guy, a guy who knows how to run a big time football program. And any questions that people might have, whether he and his staff that he hired are ready to step into the sometimes cesspool, sometimes craziness of college football recruiting and get good guys, I think that question has more or less been answered. You know, you got to do it consistently.
Yeah,
consistently, you got to do it year after year. But I mean, this is one hell of a start.
It is, and it's. So. I would. Yeah, I probably would argue this, that anybody else in the situation that Brian Kelly found himself in, I really do think, had we not gone with a seasoned guy who's proven himself, you could have been shell-shocked when two of your top defensive linemen decommit to you, and you're standing there thinking, oh my God, how did this happen? And you're trying to reevaluate the situation, and instead, you got a guy like Brian Kelly that's been there, done that, and he immediately says, all right, look, let me show you what our commitment's all about. And both of the stories in those situations were doggone good
sure.
ones. And, you know, it just goes to show that, and again, I think Brian Kelly said all the right things in his press conference today. This was a team effort. This was not Brian Kelly signing every one of these
well,
guys.
Well, it is an attitude adjustment. Or a little. I mean, you never heard a Notre Dame coach before say, well, when they give us their verbal commitment, that's when we really start recruiting them hard.
Right, exactly.
That's a fundamental, you know, I mean, that is an approach to this game, the recruiting game, I mean, that is, it's just the kind of thing that you want to hear, because it's basically saying this is a high, and it's something that someone who's highly competitive would say. And that's what we need. That's what, you know, that's what we need in a coach. That's what we want in these players, that they come in ready to compete each and every day to make themselves better, that they never think that they've got it, that they never think that they've, you know, achieved anything, you know, certainly not until they get a championship. And, you know, this is obviously a guy that's not going to be satisfied until he, you know, gets and plays for that brass ring. He probably won't be satisfied then either, you know, if that works out. But it does, I think, speak volumes for the state of the program and its leadership. And you can't say enough about these assistants. You know, they had wide geographic diversity in terms of where they got kids from. Why, you know, there didn't seem to be a weak link in the recruiting chain. You know, others have, you know, made the point very well that, you know, previous staffs, maybe you had 2 or 3 great recruiters and 4 or 5 pretty mediocres and 2 real clunkers, you know. But it seemed like all these guys really got after it, and it paid big dividends.
It did, and you know, I guess you and I could probably sit down here and go through player
by player.
Why don't you
tell me who it's going to have an immediate impact next year? Because I do.
Yeah, I think that's exactly where I was going to go. I will say this before we get into that: the one thing I did kind of like, and I don't know, maybe I just haven't paid as much attention to this kind of stuff in the past, but you know, with all the recruits that they signed, they had these questions that they posed to them, you know, like the moment you knew you wanted to be an Irish football player, when was that? And
step
the cool thing was, there was a couple kids that were, you know, when I was 10 years old, or another kid said the second right. I was born. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you just fires you up. You like seeing that kind of stuff. But I will say this. There's a couple kids that I do think that are going to have immediate impacts. The first, and this is just simply from, you know, the new generation that we're in, which everything's on YouTube now. But I'll tell you what, after seeing video of this kid, I really think, don't be surprised if Golson makes a run at competing
he
for the
stole
job.
My thunder.
Because I'll tell you
he
what,
stole my thunder.
He has got a gun on him. He's got a great sense for being able to feel the pressure in the pocket.
Yep.
And not only that, when he breaks the pressure, I mean, this is a guy that threw two interceptions his senior year. And when he breaks the pressure, he doesn't give up on the play. He's got his eyes on the field.
I really think that of all the hype that the Lynches and the Eshocks and the Stephon Tuitt's got, I really think that the guy that has the best chance to start next year is Everett Golson. I cannot agree with you more. I mean, I think that it's possible by the middle of the season he will be our starting quarterback. I know that's a little bit, you know, but I think you're saying the same thing, that, you know, it's a position that's still wide open. He's got the advantage of the spring, and, you know, maybe it'll take a little bit of time, but he is the perfect fit for this coach and this offense, and he's got something that all the other guys just don't have. So there'll be some growing pains, but I agree with you. I think that he's most likely the one that by the end of the year is a starter. And I don't know if there's anybody else that you could say that about. I'll say a couple others that I think will make an immediate impact. And amazingly, they're not defensive guys. I mean, it's a great defensive class, and all those guys will play. And I think a couple of them will go on to be great players. But I'm just talking about immediately next year. I think the big upgrades we're going to see is you're going to see either Atkinson or Daniels in the return game. You know, we did not have a return game to speak of, especially on kickoffs last year. And I think you'll see an instant impact there. And the other one is on special teams. You know, I think we might have found somebody who could get, you know, 5 out of every 8 kicks out of the end zone. So it's really weird because the hype and the attention, deservedly so, has been on the defensive side of the ball. And it's a great class in that aspect. And those guys will play. They'll play in games. They'll play on special teams. We'll hear from them. But in terms of actual impact on wins and losses, I would go with Golson being a starter by the end of the year, if not the middle of the year, and the two freshman wideouts in the return game, and maybe seeing Brinza, I'm not sure I'm saying his name correctly, kicking the ball out of the end zone on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's such an underrated position. But man, if this kid is anything, and I've seen YouTube videos of him too, it's ridiculous. He had a kickoff that went through the uprights, so it's not like he's got any problem with any distance. He had 5. What was he? He was like 5 of 9 field goals beyond 50 yards. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
And it's a position that we're loaded at. You know, so
well, yeah. I mean, how can you go wrong from a guy that doesn't miss his entire career, or he missed once?
I wouldn't be surprised if he does not, attempt a field goal next year. This freshman kicker, but just the
these
guys coming back on defense. The defense has finished strong, and it is pretty key if you could have a situation where you've got the other team starting best case scenario on their own 20 as opposed to their 38, their 42, their 29.
Matters.
So
yeah,
it could happen.
I agree. I see him kicking off for sure. I don't know that he'll take the field goal kicking, but I sure as heck see him kicking off. I can't imagine he wouldn't. It's funny. I agree with you. I was going with Golson, and I was going with DeVaris Daniels. Daniels, I mean, this kid's got a 42.
Did you see his rebound slam on YouTube this week?
I haven't, but I can imagine it with a 42-inch vertical. Well, not only that, but did I read that right? Is Golson thinking of playing
basketball team? Not this year. I think it's still no possibility. But I guarantee you, but I would not be surprised if that doesn't happen, if he steps in and plays quarterback right away.
Yeah.
You never know. But,
I mean, you never know. He's a ridiculous athlete. But Daniels, you know, I just think a kid that, I mean, he runs a 4.4. He's a 6'3". He's not, 5'11". This is a kid who's got pedigree in him. His father plays for the Washington Redskins.
Yeah. He's got to get bigger and stronger. All these guys.
They've got
great frames.
Prototype.
I'll say on the defensive guys, I think, especially, I mean, you'll see them on special teams next year. But I think Grace inside and Rabassa, as I think how you say his name, who's down there by you in Florida. You know, we'll obviously hear an awful lot about Lynch and Williams and Tuitt, but I think those two guys can end up being just terrific linebackers at Notre Dame. Watching their film, I mean, these are tough guys who have good feet, who seem to just understand the game from that position, and they seem like real leader types. So I'm just, you know, what, like you said, who knows, but it's excited that that, you know, there's no throw-ins on this class. Every single guy that they have, they really yeah, wanted it, and they went out and got him.
It really is. It's solid up and down. That being the case, what I think this class is going to come down to is, where do they go from here? Can Brian Kelly pull a Mike Bray and get guys to play at the top level of what they're capable of? Because if he can, he's got a doggone football team he just built right here with this class. Because if he gets the most out of them, they are going to be a very solid group.
Oh, I think he'll coach them up. But, you know, a lot of stuff happens, you know, off the field stuff, you know, grades, you know, there's going to be guys, you know, the thing is that when the environment gets competitive like this, there are going to be transfers, you know, there are going to be position changes, you know, there's going to be stuff, there's going to be adversity, but there's no, you know, there's no substitute for talent. Obviously, you got to do something with it. But if you've got the, if you've got the athletes to begin with, and plus you've got, you know, the strength program and all this kind of stuff, I mean, you know, it's and you've got a lot of really good football players coming back. So the momentum at the end of the year, terrific, and hats off to the coaches for that. But following through with this kind of a class, especially when it was, you know, it could have gone either way a couple times with some of these big marquee names, but they stuck after it and got them to come to South Bend, got some guys to enroll early. You know, when we're averaging about, you know, a foot of snow a week here, it's quite an accomplishment, and they should celebrate tonight. You know, who, again, back to work, you know, back to work tomorrow, back to workouts tomorrow, but those guys, Kelly, Diaco, Elston, Chuck Martin, the recruiting coordinator, Tony Alford, of course. Always, Kerry Cooks, Tim Hinton, you know, who, Ed Warner, who am I forgetting? But, you know, that, I mean, these coaches just did a Denbrock on the West Coast, Notre Dame, you know, kicked some butt in California. I mean, you know, getting the Atkinson brothers out of there, getting this kid Nicholas from USC at the last minute. You know, I mean, those are really big. You know, you got Brian Polian out there too. All those kids are, you know, could be going to Stanford. You know, now there was a little bit of upset, right, you know, but Polian's right, a good recruiter. So they went head to head with some really good programs and really good recruiters. And I don't think I can remember a year where you saw offer lists for some of these guys that had so many, you know, that it was the Floridas and the Auburns and the USCs and the
You go up and down the list, yep, and it's all that. I can't remember the last time. I could swear I remember looking at this like 3 years ago, and it was like four or five kids we got had offers from other big-time schools. So that boded very well for us as well. And again, I think that some people may have initially logged on and seen that we weren't in the top 10 and immediately thought, oh, my God, here we go again. Not the case at all. Don't even think for 1 second that Notre Dame being 12th on the ESPN list.
Well, you know, Levin has us first, and, you know, I think Rivals set us in the top. You know, whatever that stuff means. I think what's more important,
it's a bigger picture than that.
And the rankings are fun to do and all that stuff. But I think, you know, we had at the low end, we had three of the top 100. You know, at the high end, we had eight or something like that. So,
right.
And I guarantee you there's going to be some of these quote-unquote three-star guys that turn into terrific
football players.
So.
Yeah, I just think that he's the kind of guy that, and that's, to me, that's what coaching is all about. It's about getting three-star guys and turning them to four and a half.
So there's nothing wrong, Notre Dame fans, with just, you know, hyping the hell out of this for at least a day or two.
Not at all. I think anytime you get into the top 15, you did your job, you put yourself in a position because rarely does this translate into national championships. Yep. It means nothing.
But more importantly, you know, you address the needs. You address the big, you know. So
they did, and Notre Dame needed it on the defensive end. We just have not had that, and it's been such a long time. It's a heck of a relief to at least see there could be some help on
Excellent.
The way. But you know, small improvements too. I mean, how can you argue with the defense the way they played the last four games
For sure.
of the year? It's just one of those things that, and with the majority of everybody coming back, I mean, next year is looking like, it could be something special, and what a great way to win a bowl game, go into signing day, build some momentum, and come out and be fired up with a heck of an opening home football game. And man, you can win that one. You can set yourself on the right path.
It.
Yeah. So it looks good. All right, well, let's wrap it up there. It's been definitely a good day for, not only signing day for football team, but, I mean, who's felt this good about the basketball program February 5th into the season?
Went to a hockey game last week, too. It was a lot of fun. They're good.
Yeah, no, well, you can't miss on hockey, that's for sure. No doubt about that. But hopefully things are boding well for the Irish all around. The women's soccer team winning the national championship. My daughter was out there and actually saw that. So kudos to them and their program. But things are looking up. It's a little exciting time here at Notre Dame Station, that's for sure. We'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.